Blog Talk Radio.
To Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. So thank each and every one of you for joining me on tonight. I am always excited. I'm just excited about life. I'm excited about first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 20th, 30th, 50th chances that my God gives me. And how he always let me know he loves me. Normally at the darkest hours of my life, he always have a way of caressing me and holding me tight and let me know that he loves me and that he will never leave me nor forsake me, and that there's nothing that could separate me from his love. And knowing that just brings about a spirit of rejoice. It brings for me a spirit of repentance, because it makes me just think of all the little ugly things that are the imperfections that I operate in at times, and it just makes me not want to operate in those things. It makes me want to just do whatever I need to do to please him. And so I had one of those moments just before the show on tonight, and I, as I always do, get prepared for the show, and I get into an attitude of worship and an attitude of praise and an attitude of the word, and I begin to just dissect the word and meditate on what God wants me to share with each show. He'll normally give me a base subject matter, and then he'll begin to minister to me on that. And on Tuesday, we had such a dynamite show. For those who had an opportunity to listen in on Tuesday's show, we were in the studio, but we went live. We went Facebook Live, and it was powerful because there was a lot of viewers. And we talked about opting out of offense. And the show was just really a good show. We discussed different things of offense and why we get offended and how we have expectations of others. And when those expectations aren't met, then we respond to that in a negative way. And so anyway, the show was so great. And so I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak about on tonight? So I don't even know where he's going to take me tonight. I don't know where he's going to take me tonight, but I'm totally submissive. I'm totally willing to let him lead me wherever he's going to lead me. I believe that it's going to be a spinoff from Tuesday night, because right now in the earth, the spirit of offense in triple power stage, it has been released in the earth. And so you see a lot of anger, and you see a lot of resentment and a lot of bitterness and a lot of offense and defense and resentment. And it's just in the earth heavy. And I don't know if anyone that's listening in on tonight knows that. Everything, when you turn on the TV, all we see is evil. when you go on social media, evil. Everybody's so tight. Everybody's so stressed. And everybody's operating in fear, because fear produces all those things too. And so with everything that's going on from the White House all the way down to the project, it don't matter. Everybody could feel this spirit in the earth. And whether they know it spiritually what's going on, which I believe most don't, because if they did, they wouldn't respond the way they're responding. So I know most people don't know that this is a spiritual thing that's going on. There's a spiritual warfare. And I'm not here to scare you. I'm just here to speak the truth. Because if you could begin to understand why you might be feeling a certain way. And I'm spiritual. I believe myself to be spiritual, but I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the tension in my body. I'm tight. I'm bloated. I know people have probably been watching some of the live videos and probably said, what's going on with Coach D? Her face just looks bloated. I'm bloated. It's tense. And so I just want to talk tonight about dropping the drapes of defense, offense, and resentment. How do we get past that? How do we get past old hurts and new hurts? How do we get past being offended so easily and defensive, ready to defend against what we believe to be attacks? How do we deal with attacks? How do we deal with attacks in a positive way that don't leave us broken and wounded and resentful? How do we communicate effectively? How do you tell someone that they hurt your feelings? How do you tell someone that you're disappointed? How do we do this without the residues of resentment and anger and bitterness? And that's what I'm going to go through tonight. And I encourage my listening audience on tonight, if you have a statement, a comment, something that you feel can add to tonight's subject matter, please do not hesitate to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, and we'll bring you right in. feedback is good. I don't mind having the feedback on tonight because, again, like I said, I am just I don't know what direction that God is going to take me in on tonight. But I definitely know that he is here, and I definitely know that I'm submitting myself to him to lead and guide me for whatever it is that he would have for each one of you on tonight. I'm going to start with, what I would like to do is something that I don't do often. So for those listening in, what I want to do is I just want to set the stage. I believe that there's a spirit of deliverance in the house on tonight. I believe that, like me, there are many others that still deal with maybe some resentments, maybe some holding, you're still holding on to some anger, some shoulda, woulda, coulda. And so what I would like to do before I get into the lesson and start breaking down how we could just get out of this thing, I want to play a song. The song is probably about 4 minutes. So I'm asking you to don't get impatient. Don't hang up the phone. But I'm asking you, I'm challenging you to just sit and listen to the words of the song. Allow these words to minister to your heart and your mind. And if you allow, I guarantee you that if you will sit and still, not being distracted by anything on the outside, but that if you will sit still and reflect on the inside, allow these words to minister to you. I guarantee you when we come back from this some point that the words that God will have for you tonight, they will be right on target for you. It will be an individual, personal word for you. Amen. So we're going to play this song. It's about 4 minutes. Hang in there. Allow yourself to allow the words to minister to you. If you've never experienced doing that before, I'm challenging you on tonight. Be still and know that God, know he's God. Just be still and know that he's God. Amen.
As a child of God, you have that peace. Things that cut your life just Forgive others before I can forgive you.
Amen, amen. Hopefully that song ministered to each one of you as we head in the direction. Father God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. You are welcome in this place on tonight. Father God, we thank you because we know, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you, Father God, that you loved us so much, that you love us so much, Father God, that you're willing to walk us through the art of forgiving, Father God, so that we ourselves will be forgiven. Father, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for the rhema word that will go forth, Lord. And Father God, we thank you for your presence. For we know that where your presence is, there is an anointing. And it's the anointing that breaks the yokes, that breaks the bondage, Father God. So we just thank you on tonight, Lord, that chains are being released, that chains are being broken, Father God, and people will be able to walk in liberty, Father, that they will be able to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's get to it. I will encourage you to bring out your pens and pads. You may want to jot down scriptures because I am going to be reading some scriptures. We're going to do some step-by-step. We're going to work through this thing of unforgiveness and resentment and hatred and all this other stuff that we know. I don't know about you all, but I know that I have been clothed in those various things throughout my life, some parts of my life more than others. And sometimes we think that we've gotten over everything and we'll find out a situation or something could happen that will spark something in us. And we'll be like, whoa, where did that come from? Resentment and hate and bitterness and anger and offense, it runs deep. It runs deep, deep down in the subconscious mind. And it's an ugly thing. And let me tell you, it's so ugly and it's so powerful that people are laying on their deathbed behind it. People are hurting and ill in their bodies behind it. People have lost their minds behind it. So when we say, well, why do I have to forgive? I just won't mess with that person no more. You don't have to mess with the person anymore. But you don't have to even see the situation again. But if that resentment and that unforgiveness is still in you, it still is causing an effect. So we're going to try to work through. And so we're going to try to get deep down in there and try to begin to get past and get rid of the resentment and the unforgiveness and the anger. We're going to start with some steps. And first, let's do this. One of the things I always like to do, I don't like to assume that people understand or know the definition of a particular word. So I just want to speak the Webster Dictionary of the word forgiveness. The act of forgiving, a disposition, willingness to forgive. To forgive, it means to give up resentment of or claim to requital. Four, to grant relief, for example, from payment. But we know in tonight we want to grant relief from offense, something that somebody did to us that we're still holding on to, something that someone did to maybe someone else that we love. We want to be able to just walk in forgiveness, and we want to learn how to forgive people who have done us, has done something to us that we may see as unforgivable. But I want to remind us that when we say, I'm not forgiving them, what they did, that's it, they, you know, I'll never forgive them for that. We got to be careful, because when we say that, in essence, what we're saying is that God, should God not forgive us for the things we've done? And we've all done some things, and maybe our thing wasn't as harsh as we think somebody else's thing was, but still it was a thing. Because let me just give this to you really quickly, if I may. And I'm going to give you a scenario, because I want to present something to you, because when you begin to look at things through a different eyes, from a different perception, then you'll begin to see some things. So let's just say in this scenario that Tom, when he was a little boy, his dad used to beat him all the time. His dad was very abusive. His dad was abusive to his mom, and the dad was abusive to him. So his dad would spank him and beat him quite often and beat up his mom often. And so this is what Tom lived his life like as a child, from birth up until he became a teenager and left home and no longer had to interact with his dad. And even though it was painful for Tom and he knew it wasn't right, the resentment, the anger, and the bitterness, because he knew it wasn't right. And how could somebody do something like this to me? He's my own father. Why would he do this to me? So Tom leaves home, and he leaves home with resentment, and he leaves home with bitterness because he has been beaten all his life, right? So Tom goes on with life, and he thinks, I would never do that, and he moves on with life, and he finally gets married, and then he ends up having his child, and now Tom is finding himself abusive to his child. Tom goes to jail because it's a different time and it's a different era. When Tom's dad did it, Tom's dad was able to get away with it because the child abuse laws weren't as strict and they weren't as stringent as they are now. But now Tom is in a different generation and the child abuse laws are there. So when Tom does the same disciplinary measures or the same level of abuse to his child that was done to him, now he ends up in prison. He learns. He ends up in prison, but then he has tools and resources available to him to begin to help him understand why that abuse is not right, why he can't do this, why he has the anger, why he has the hurt, and why he has the pain. I say to you on this, who's actually guilty, Tom or Tom's father? Now, why I gave that scenario is for a reason. Because some people probably say Tom, and some people probably say Tom's father. But I give you this scenario because if all Tom, we look at Tom, so we see Tom. We didn't know Tom Sr. We only know Tom Jr. So if we're looking at Tom Jr. and we're saying, wow, he's a monster. Go ahead, throw away the keys. Throw him under the jail. Oh, send him to the death chamber. This is what we're saying, because we see Tom Jr. and we see Tom Jr. is abusive to his child. We don't know the effects. We don't know what Tom Jr. had to go through with Tom Sr. And so if Tom Jr. learned this behavior through Tom Sr., and Tom Jr. only learned how to deal with frustration, Tom Jr. only learned how to deal with anger through his father, Well, what do you think Tom Jr. would do? Exactly what Tom Jr. did, because that's what that's how he learned how to deal with anger. He didn't have anger management. He learned how to deal with anger because he seen how his dad dealt with anger. He seen how his dad dealt with frustration. He seen how his dad interacted with him. Now, there are some exceptions to the rules. There are some kids that have been through an abuse. They grow up and have kids, and they do the total opposite. They don't want to do the same. That's an exception to the rule. That's not normally the norm. Why do you say that, Coach D? Because have you ever seen yourself, and this doesn't have to always be negative behavior, it could be great behavior, but do you ever see yourself raising your child the way your mom raised you? I mean, from things you eat, you know, if you grew up as a child and every Friday night was fish night, y'all know what I'm talking about, then guess what? When you get married and have your family, the chances are that every Friday night is going to be fish night because that's what you learned as a child. That became the norm. And so every Friday night was fish night. Wednesday night was spaghetti. Tuesday night was tacos. I know when I was growing up, and even though I didn't follow the tradition because I don't like to cook, but I remember growing up with my siblings, and especially from that 0 to 7 years, maybe that 0 to 8 years old, it was certain nights that I knew what my mom was going to cook. It was certain nights I knew we were going to have grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup, especially in the winter months. And that grape Kool-Aid was going to be sitting in the middle of the table, and we weren't going to be able to touch it until we finished. You know, it was certain nights I knew that she was going to do a pepper steak. You know, certain nights that she was going to do tacos. I just knew it. And so when I grew up, even though I didn't follow those traditions, which is an exception to the rule, I still expected those days for these particular type of foods to take place. So I'm using that as an example because we become what we learn, what we've been taught. Negative or positive, we learn what we've been taught. So if we grew up in an abusive household, and we learned that how I deal with frustration is by going off. I'm angry. I'm mad. You pissed me off. Then guess what? The chances are that's what we're going to do when we get older. Whether consciously or unconsciously, the chances are that's what we're going to do when we get older. And so the goal is for us to be able to identify these negative behaviors that we learn, that the not so good, and I'm going to call them good and not so good, and I know my mentor is laughing right now because that's what we learn in seminar, is that we don't like to use the word bad, but we would rather use good and not so good. So I'm going to use good and not so good. So we're going to start identifying those not so good behaviors that we've been holding on to, the not so good thoughts and reactions that we've been holding on to, and most of them came from when we were a child. So I want you to know something, that in most cases, the way you behave is not something that you just learned today. In most cases, it's things that you learned early on, and you just continue, especially in not-so-good behaviors. So we're going to learn how to begin to identify the not-so-good behaviors for the simple purpose of forgiving. For the simple purpose of forgiving. Although resentment may be provoked by recent specific angry conflict between you and somebody else, they usually encapsulate an entity that goes much further back. That's what I just said. It didn't just start. This is something that goes back. It could go back from your parent, the sibling, an old friend. How many of us was bullied? Maybe when we were kids. You were bullied when you were kids. You haven't been bullied since you were 7. But the effects of that bullying left some resentment. It left some anger. It left some, matter of fact, taught you how you were going to interact with other people. Because why? Because one day you got tired of being bullied. So at 8 years old, you've been bullied all the way from 0 to 8. And at 8 years old, you said, no more. I'm not going to be bullied anymore. And the next person that bullied me, I'm going to black their eye. Because I'm not going to be bullied no more. Now, that's a reasonable way of thinking as a child. That's reasonable to think that, okay, somebody's always beating you up and bullying you, you better beat them up and bully them. That's okay as a child, but what happens when that mentality as a child at 8, what happens when that child is 28 and still is operating in that same mentality? All from what happened in the past, the unforgiveness, not releasing and not letting go of the unforgiveness of what happened in those early years. What we feel people did to us that was unnecessary, that was mean, that was hurtful, you know, maybe it was a family member. It don't always have to be a family member. Maybe it was a friend, whatever it was, that somebody did something to you, that thing they did to you. And we all have that thing that somebody did to us. And it's not always just super duper not so good, but that thing. Do you remember that thing that was done to you? And I guarantee you that if you begin to reflect back and you start thinking about a thing that was done to you that hurt you, that left you wounded, emotionally wounded, or mentally wounded, and if you begin to trace the tracks from then to now, you'll probably begin to see a behavior. You'll begin to see something that you practice, that you find yourself continually doing. And I'm gonna be I'm gonna share something and be transparent. One of the things I learned is I don't like loud. I don't like loud noises. I can watch, and I don't watch scary movies, but I can remember if I'm watching a movie and the music gets loud and it starts becoming suspenseful, I don't close my eyes. Most people close their eyes. I'll close my ears. And I look at my children, and I've seen that my son, he does the same thing. If he's looking at TV and something gets too suspenseful, he closes his ears. And I thought, wow, that's something I do. And so he does that too. Well, for me, what I determined is, for me, is sound. I don't mind seeing it with my eyes, but it's the sound that startles me. It's the sound that brings that spirit of fear. And why was that? Because I remember when I was a little girl, throughout my family, not just in my household, but throughout my family, when I was a very small girl, that there was a lot of domestic abuse. And every time, it would be very quiet in people, but every time a fight broke out, regardless of who was fighting, it got loud. It would get really loud. And so as a little girl, it would get loud, and what I would do is hold my head or hold my ears. And that took me all the way into, even to this day, I'm 54 years old, and I don't mind telling my age, and I still, if things get suspenseful, if things begin to get loud, the first thing I do is I grab my ears. And it's not because of the loudness sound hurts my ears, but that was my protection. If I don't hear, I don't want to hear it. Now, me being able to identify that, what has that done for me? It made me take a look at why. Why do I do this? So I had to take a look. So sometimes when we have to take a look at things that are still lingering on, we got to go back to a painful place. We have to go all the way back to find out why I do that. So I had to go back to a painful place. I had to go back to a place of being a little girl and seeing a lot of domestic violence and hearing a lot of noise. As a result of that, though, wanting forward, once I was able to identify where that fear came from, where that whatever that was, resentment, whatever was going on in me, then I was able to now begin to process through that unforgiveness. Because what it became is that I could be talking with someone, having a discussion, and if the other person got loud, I got defensive. And the other person was just being passionate about their point. But because they were being passionate about their point, that made me defensive. So I'm operating in defense. I'm ready to fight because remember what used to happen back then? Every time somebody got loud, it represented fight. It represented violence. So the little girl then now says, uh-oh, somebody's getting loud. I better get ready to fight. When reality is that we're just having a discussion, and I'm passionate about what I'm saying. Now, that's just an example, because your thing may be something different. Some people's thing is maybe they grew up poor. Maybe they grew up in poverty, and they didn't get enough to eat. And so now they find themselves being hoarders with food because they didn't get enough. So when they said when they were younger, man, I'm so sick of eating beans. When I grow up and I get big enough, I'm going to have me steaks, and I'm going to have me some chicken because I'm tired of beans. And so now they find themselves maybe in an unhealthy relationship with steak and chicken, that they find themselves always eating steak and chicken, even to the point that it may be affecting their health. And it ain't just so much that they desire steak and chicken, but they have already set up, they already had a, in their subconscious mind from when they were a child that they were tired of eating beans, so now they got to eat steak and chicken. Now, where I'm going, I don't know. I told you guys are going to take it because I know he's going to bring this home somewhere, and it's going to come back to forgiving and being able to forgive. But right now, he has us on a whole different path, and Lord, I'm just going to be submissive to that path. So it's not that you really desire the steak and chicken, but because you have made up your mind at 9 that when you get big and you get older and you got your own money, you're going to have steak and chicken. Now you're having steak and chicken, unhealthy obsession with it. This all ties into forgiveness because of the simple fact that when we operate in these things, there's areas in our life, things that we've experienced, not so good things that we've experienced that we haven't released. We haven't let go of. So we're holding on to them. They're deep rooted in us, and it's causing us to think the way we think. Some of us have been in multiple relationships, and we don't know why, because maybe it's everybody else's fault. But there's a pattern, and you got to be able to identify what was that thing then that you are still carrying along with you now. Why? Identify why is it that every time somebody tells you no, you respond a certain way. Maybe you get angry. Or maybe you get defensive every time somebody say no. Why is that? Well, I don't know what your why is, but this is where you need to backtrack. And you need to go all the way back and find out. Maybe why you get so angry now when somebody tells you no is because you're still holding resentment from being told no a lot maybe when you were a kid. Maybe your mom told you no a lot. Maybe you heard no more than you heard yes. And maybe her reason for telling you no to a lot of things is because she didn't afford it. But you didn't know it just because she couldn't afford it. You just thought she was being mean and saying no. So now, at 30 years old, you're still getting angry when somebody tells you no. What happened with rejection? Because a lot of us don't like to be rejected. I mean, I know I don't like to be rejected. And I don't know about you. Do you like to be that? But what happened in those early years that caused you to really have a fear of rejection? This is that's no. Rejection is still saying no. Why are you uncomfortable with rejection? What happened at 3? That says, I never want to experience that feeling again. And if I have to experience that feeling, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be angry because anger is just nothing more than hurt. So I'm going to be hurt if I hear somebody tell me no because that's a form of rejection. And I don't know how to deal with rejection. So because I don't know how to deal with rejection and I can't understand rejection, defensive against rejection. I resent it. And now I'm operating in hurt and ill feelings. I'm operating in even unforgiveness toward the person because they told me no when there was nothing to not forgive them for. But because you couldn't handle the word, you're not operating in the spirit. You don't even want to talk to the person. Unforgiveness to me is the same as resentment. And resentment runs deep. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to just break it down. I'm going and I don't know where God is going with this, but I know that somebody needs to hear this. Somebody has been dealing with some unforgiveness and some resentment and some things that have just really taken a toll on them mentally, emotionally, physically. They can't get past certain points in their life because they're still holding it back, and they're trying to get to their destiny. They're trying to reach their goals in life, and they cannot do it because they have this baggage of unforgiveness and resentment, and they don't know how to let go. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you're going to have to let go of it, because if you don't let go of it, you're going to be in the same place, doing the same thing. It's just going to be a different day. And you're never going to see the manifestation of your goals. You're not going to see the manifestation of this of your dreams and your visions and your ideas, things you want for your life, until you let go of some of these things. Step one, the victim. Let's just take a look. Now, at 3 years old, there may not be no part that you played and something that you may be holding on to at 3 or 6. But what I'm going to do is ask you anyway to take a look at the situation and see what part did you play in it. What part did you play? Now, again, at 3 years old, you may have not played any part. You didn't probably have any control of some things that happened to you at 3. And we're going to deal with that a little differently, as I stated with you about Tom Sr. and Tom Jr. Sometimes we just got to let things go, because Tom Sr. probably did to Tom Jr. what Tom Sr.'s dad did to him. And it just became a generational thing. But let's talk about some stuff you can control, and then we'll go back to the things that maybe you have no control over, and we'll deal with that differently. So take a look at a situation that you could think of in the age that you were knowingly able to make a decision and a choice. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was getting fired from a job. Take a look at that and see what part did you play in that situation, because oftentimes we're offended about certain things, and when we really sit down and take a look at it, we're offended about things that we played a part in. Example, you get married to someone that's a cheater. Now, you went through a courting period before you got married, and during the courting period, you seen every sign possible that this person was a cheater. But somewhere deep in your heart, you feel like you could change the person. I will love this person into not being a cheater anymore. So I'm going to stick with this person. I'm going to stay with them because I just believe that if I could just show them I love them enough, they're going to stop cheating. But little did you know that their cheating had absolutely nothing to do with you. But their cheating had to do with their unresolved resentment and maybe unforgiveness that was lurking in them. So you get married to this person because you think you're going to fix them, and guess what? You can't fix them. So now you're in a relationship, and you're mad, you're angry, you're hurt, you are just frustrated. The relationship ends in a divorce. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to play the victim. He cheated on me. She didn't respect me. I did everything in my power, and she didn't respect me. He didn't love me. How could somebody do me like this? And so we become the victim, and boy, you cannot be a victim and not harbor resentment and unforgiveness. In order to be a victim, you have to have a spirit of unforgiveness, because they're married to each other. They come together. So now you go around and you're constantly telling your victim story. You're constantly telling your victim, oh, Jesus. You're constantly telling your victim story of what this person did to you, how it happened, how you didn't deserve it, how this person needs to be punished for it. And you're telling the story over and over and over. What's your story? I'm telling this story, but what's your story? Your story could be how somebody didn't pay you back. And when you loaned them the money, you knew they didn't have a job. But you still angry because they didn't pay you back. Whatever your story is, you've made yourself a victim. And victims always have to have buy-in. So if you're a victim, you're going to always want buy-in from other people. You're not going to just be, you know, you need somebody to validate that you've been victimized. Amen? So we're going to start with step one in dealing with the victim. What is your story that you keep telling people? What is the story that you keep harboring and playing over and over in your mind that renders you to be a victim? Whatever that story is, if you're going to take a look at it, take a look at it right now. Find out what that thing is, whether it was an old job, an old relationship, maybe an old friendship. Look at that right now. Somebody cussed you out and you don't know why, but you provoked the situation. Whatever that thing is, look at it. And decide tonight, September the 28th, 7:47 Pacific Standard Time, decide tonight that you no longer are going to be a victim in that situation. That you're going to look at the situation and you're going to see, how did you play a part in that situation? And once you identify how you played a part in that situation, the first thing you're going to do is forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for not maybe making a good choice. And then once you forgive yourself for not making a good choice, now you've taken away the status of being a victim. Now, you still may have some anger towards the offender, the person who offended you, but now you can stop being a victim because you realize that you played a part in it as well. Now, let's get to number two. Number two is called point of view. Double check your point of view or perception on the resentment. So let's take a look at your point of view on the resentment. You might find that your point of view is off, and you really resenting something that wasn't even the truth. Woo! You may be resenting something that wasn't even the truth, because it was based on your perception. I'll give an example of that. There was a situation that took place the other day, and it was two young ladies who got into a verbal altercation. And once the verbal altercation got totally out of control and all the words were said and all the hurt and pain was produced, hindsight, I'm sure that both ladies were able to take a look at the situation and realize that each of their perception, each of their point of view was totally untrue. It was a total misunderstanding. But it was a misunderstanding that was seen from two separate point of views. And guess what? Neither point of view was right. Have you ever had a situation like that where two people had two different point of views and neither were right. I've seen situations like that. You see a lot of situations like that in marriages, because I used to hear the older people would say, your side, their side, and the right side. So relook at your point of view about the resentment you have, whatever that resentment is. Your mom used to get on you all the time when you were a kid, and you had a perception as a kid. She tells you no. Your perception was that she's always telling me no. I'm always faced with rejection from her, because that was your point of view as a child. But now as an adult, take a look back at that situation, because what you may find out again is that she was telling you no because she didn't have the money. She made your life as best possible as she can. You didn't even know you were poor, because she did everything to try to make sure that her kids had their needs met. So you didn't even know you were poor. But now as an adult, maybe you can look back and figure out that, man, we were poor. I didn't even know we were poor. But we were poor. And mom was struggling. And every time I wanted to ask her for a pair of tennis shoes, because Bobby down the street had a pair of tennis shoes, and I wanted a pair of tennis shoes, she would tell me no. Every time the ice cream truck come along and I wanted ice cream because Sarah down the street had ice cream, she would tell me no. And so I grew up just thinking that she didn't like me, that she didn't love me, because she was always telling me no. And that was an okay point of view from a child. But that now look at that point of view as an adult. Because when we start looking at those point of views from a different perspective, we'll start finding out that it never was what it seemed that we thought it was. In most cases, even for those who've been molested, that's never a good thing. There's no way around that. For somebody to be violated is never a good thing. But from a child's perspective and the point of view, and then being able to be a mature adult and looking at the situation, it's not that you take away from the negativity of it, because it is what it is, but now you begin to see things differently. So if you knew that such and such did this to you because somebody did it to such and such, guess what? It doesn't take away the pain of it, but you start looking at it from a different perspective, which then allows you to begin to operate or begin to work on a spirit of forgiveness. Because now you could forgive. Again, point of view. Look at the thing that you have resentment about and begin to look at it again from a different point of view. Start seeing the truth in it. What was the real truth in it? Have you talked to anybody about it? Have you tried to get support from maybe family or a friend, or have you been to counseling? A lot of people don't. Certain cultures just, don't believe in counseling. But counseling may be the very thing that you need to get past some of the hurdles that's in your life. That may be an option for you, and counseling could be. Counseling could be given by maybe a clergy, meaning, you have a local pastor or minister friend or somebody that you trust, that you believe you could sit down and talk to. Find somebody that you trust, that you trust their wisdom, that you could begin to sit down and process through some of this stuff with. So we dealt with number one. We want to see what part we played in the situation, and we don't want to become a victim any longer. Number two, we want to look at a different point of view. We want to double check our point of view and see if there was even truth that lied in it. Number three, gratitude. That's a good thing. Oftentimes you find people that's holding on to anger and resentment are oftentimes people who are not they lack the spirit of gratitude. They're not grateful. Instead of focusing on what happened and what you don't have and any other negative thought, how about focusing on the things that you are grateful for? And if you have not identified the things that you are grateful for, then you're going to always be focusing on the things that you don't have. You're going to be negative. Negativity, it breeds the spirit of resentment. It keeps you in a spirit of unforgiveness. So you want to just focus on the good things. So, yes, you know, you had these experiences. You went through some of these things. But where are you now? Where are you at in life now? Are you married? Do you have a family? How is your career going? What is your relationship? Do you have how is your relationship with God? Do you have a prayer life? Are you, are you spiritually mature? Are you seeking God now? You know, has God been good to you? You know, do you have your health? Can you talk? Can you walk? Can you breathe? Start thinking about the little things that you could be grateful for. Not the things that you don't have or the things that happen, but what about now? What's happening in your life now that you could be grateful for? Number four, meditation. This is something I do often. A lot of people don't like themselves, so they don't even like to be by themselves. You often find people that always want to be in environments, want to be with other people, want to be in relationships. And even if the relationships are bad, they just have to be in a relationship. And what I found out is that when you start beginning to like yourself, you don't mind being by yourself. Because those are some of the most profound times with you and your and for me it's a profound time, because that's the time that I spend with my Heavenly Father. That's the time where He downloads into me. That's the time where He heals those wounded areas in me. Those areas can't get wounded in me if I'm constantly going and I don't stop and be still and let Him minister to me. It's a lot as believers. God wants to bless us. It's a lot of promises in the Word of God for the believers, for His children. But most of us is walking around with cups, alms, and we got holes all in them. So He can't even, every time He blesses us, we leaking out. We leaking out because such and such said this to me. Well, when I was 9, such and such used to beat me up. Well, at 12, I didn't have food, and we constantly going back, and we constantly going back and holding on, and so we just broken. We just walking around leaking. We can't be blessed. We can't be a blessing to nobody else because we just leaking. We got holes everywhere, and God wants to bless us, but if we don't be still long enough for Him to, whoever has had an accident, and you had an accident and you got cut, and you had to go to emergency, and those cuts need to be stitched. How many of us know that the doctor can't stitch those cuts up if you're too busy moving around? If you're screaming and falling all out and acting all out, he can't get you he can't get you to be still long enough for him to stitch up the wounds. Then they gotta sedate you, just to get you to be still so he could save your life. Ooh, so he could save your life. It's the same thing with somebody that's drowning. How many people know that a person that's drowning will fight their way to death? When you're trying to save a person that's drowning, a person that's drowning could drown not only himself but you too, because they're fighting. But it's not until they give up and just give up that they could get saved. Same thing. If we don't be still and get somewhere and find quiet time to sit in silence and meditate and go over our lives and go over our plans and go over directions and allow God to just sit with us, allow Him to minister to us, allow Him to show us, give us revelation. A lot of us won't be holding and harboring some of the resentment that we're harboring if we would just follow step four and be still and know that He's God. Allow Him to minister. Allow Him to begin to sew up those wounds. That life is rough. Anybody that's lived life is rough. You get injured along the way. Some of us got injured more than others. And I'm not always talking about a physical. I'm talking about emotionally and mentally. And then if you're not on drugs, it's even more rough because you take, because you're dealing with life on life's terms, straight up. No chasers. And you got to deal with the disappointments and the unmet expectations. And so we're dealing with life, and life is cruel, and it can do some things to you. And so I don't know about you, but I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need my Heavenly Father. I need to be able to sit down. I need Him to sew me up. I need Him to plug those wounds where I'm bleeding all over the place from life. So it's important that we take the time to sit and meditate. And I'm getting to the last step. Step five, let go. Just let go. So when you learn how to stop being a victim and start looking at things from a different point of view, and by all means, be grateful. Have a spirit of gratitude that you're just happy to be alive and have your sound mind. Some of us have been through some stuff that we weren't even supposed to be here today. But we're here today, and we got our sound minds, and we got a roof over our head, and we're able to eat, with most of us, whatever we want to eat. Some of us too much. Be grateful. And then once you stop being a victim, change your point of view and you're grateful, meditate. Be still. Get in the presence of God. Allow Him to minister to you. Allow Him to stitch you. Allow Him sew up those wounds that life brings us. I get wounded daily with life between work and motherhood and bills and this and that, life. And sometimes you just got to be still and let Him just sew you up, minister to you, nurture you. And then at the end of all that, let go. Just let go. We always have, human beings have a strong need to be right, comfortable, safe, and in control. And we can't all the time do all those things. And we might just be surprised that sometimes we just got to let go and let God. We hear that cute cliche, let go and let God. Sometimes we just got to let go and let God. We may not be able to control everything. We may not know what tomorrow brings. But we got to be able to trust God. That whatever tomorrow brings, that he's gonna be there with us. That whatever happens, that He'll be there with us. That whatever we go through, according to His word, that He's there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That He's there to be with us. That He's there to get us through those difficult times. And we'll know that when we sit still in His presence. We know that when we be still and meditate, because He reassures us. And it doesn't say that we won't have ouches. It doesn't say that it won't be painful. It doesn't say that it won't hurt. But what it's saying is we don't have to hold on to those hurts. We don't have to be resentful about it. We don't have to be bitter and angry about life. Because life, as long as you're living, life's going to keep happening. Life is going to, and it's not going to always just be just smooth sailing. Because one of the indicators of life, if you've ever been connected to an EKG, a heart monitor, if you're in a hospital and you're in bad shape, how do they know you're still alive? Not by flatlining. Those flat lines, that's peaceful. That's smooth sailing. That means you're dead. It's the lines that's bouncing up and down that said that there's still life. This person is still alive. And guess what? As long as you're still alive, life is going to continue to happen. You're going to go through hurts, and you're going to go through pains, and you're going to go through valleys. Those things are going to happen. But when you start looking at it from a different point of view and you choose not to be a victim and you find ways that choices that you make can make life a little easier so you're not the victim and you begin to just be grateful, then you'll start, you won't hold on to the resentment. There won't be resentment about the pain. There won't be unforgiveness about the pain. But there will be lessons learned and growth. You will begin to grow and you will begin to see a transformation taking place in your life. You will begin to see a transformation taking a place in your thought life, in your prayer life, how you see things. You won't have to continue to just be the victim. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the word on tonight, Lord. I pray that each and every person listening in on tonight, Lord, got the points that you gave us. I know I got the points tonight. And Father God, I thank you for loving me, for loving us enough that you're willing to walk us through the pains of life, Father, that you're willing to help us not be victims, Father, and give us a revelation knowledge so that we could see things from a different point of view. Father God, forgive us for not being grateful for all the blessings that you have blessed us with, Father God. We just ask for your forgiveness, Lord, that we haven't been grateful, Father, and that we've chosen to hold on to resentment, and we've chosen to hold on to hate and bitterness and anger, Father. And, Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us, Lord, and help us to create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us, Father. Father God, we pray that we would just spend more time with you, Lord, that we would set aside me time, the quiet time, the time with just you and I, Father. And Father God, that we would be willing to hear what thus said the Lord. And Father, that we will be obedient to what you tell us. And Father God, amongst it all, help us to let go and trust you, because we can't control everything. And anger and hate and resentment and bitterness simply mean, in simplistic terms, is that we don't trust you. Is that we don't trust you. So, Father God, help us to let go and trust you so that those spirits will no longer take residence in our hearts, Father God, but that we could really begin to move forward and move towards the promises that you have for us. So we just thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word, and thank you for showing up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it's been a blessing to each of you. Please feel free to continue to join us weekly on Tuesday nights with Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Thursday nights, same time, 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. Starting at the end of October, October the 30th, we will have a show coming out on Monday nights. And we know it's Monday night football still going on, but for those of you that is more concerned about building your spirit, we do have a show specifically for men. Women, you can listen in, but the show is going to be for men, and it's MMNF. You have Monday night football? Well, this is Men's Monday Night Fellowship. It's going to be on Monday evenings, and we'll be announcing the time the closer we get to it. But again, on Monday evenings on the MCD Network, we do have a show that we are starting for men, and we have an awesome man of God that's going to be leading that show, and he is anointed, and he's anointed, and I thank God has called him for just such a time as this. So, again, we thank you for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good evening.